Amen. If you would turn to Psalms 138 for our church scripture reading. Psalms 138, starting with verse 1. This is a time that we've set aside for, you know, we all read it together, okay? And so I need to hear you a little bit, okay? I know it's kind of like, oh, I don't want to be heard, but that's okay, you know? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You need to have that faith. That faith could grow on the inside of you so that God can do mighty things in you and through you. Don't ever think that God can't use you. Don't ever think that. God wants to and will use you. All he's looking for is a willing vessel. That's all. That's all. So y'all ready to read? Okay, starting with verse 1. And if you don't have your Bible, it's up on the television up there, okay? Thank you. Okay, start with verse 1. Let's read it together. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto you. Verse 2. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Verse 3. In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Verse 4. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. Verse 5. Yes, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knows afar off. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You shall stretch forth your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the works of your own hands. Amen. His mercy endures forever. And everybody say, amen. Thank you. Well, good morning. We're glad to have everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. We pray that the Spirit of the Lord to be upon you. Amen. We do want to welcome everyone that's watching too, that the anointing and the Spirit of God would be upon your heart and upon your soul. If you would take your Bibles, if you have it, and that's okay if you don't, and let's make our declaration before him. Some people have their phones because that's what they use for their Bibles. That's good. Amen. Say this. This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, everybody knows what tomorrow is. It's Memorial Day. Memorial Day. Memorial Day honors those who have lost their lives serving in the U.S. military. As we mourn and honor our deceased servicemen and women, the ones, this is why we celebrate, or if you want to say celebrate, Memorial Day, which Memorial Day was officially became a holiday in 1971, officially. It was honored hundreds of years before, and it even changed a few names till it got to Memorial Day. I don't know if anybody in here has had a family member who passed away in military service. Mr. Sheldon, you'd have your uncle, I don't know if any of his family is still alive as far as that part, but tell him thank you. Thank you. And we shall not forget. I know I've had my father that served in the military. He came home, thank God. I had my brother who served in the military, and he came home. Thank you, Lord. And I'm sure, and I know we have a lot of people that you know, or even maybe some that you have served in the military. But this is a day to honor the families that have sent away their sons and their daughters, and they didn't make it home. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice, for us to enjoy just even a day like today to come to church and not have to worry about anything, basically, of anybody coming in, causing havoc and all that stuff. And so we give praise and honor to the freedom that has been given to us. And thank you. And I tell you, that freedom comes with a price. It comes with a price. To preserve it, it comes with a price. Amen. Amen. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I want you to turn, if you would, to Ruth chapter 1. If you have these Bibles, it's page 459. 459. Praise God. At this time during Ruth's life, there was a famine in the land, and you can read it in the first few chapters, a famine. And this famine hit Israel. It seems like, as you read in the Old Testament and even in the New, when Israel had a famine in their land, that means lack of food, you know. They couldn't, you know, get on their camel and run to the store, Walmart, and get something and come and have it. There just was no food, you know. It just wasn't there. Usually when that happened in the land of Israel, usually it was because God had allowed it. Because they had gone astray from serving him. A lot of times they were disobedient and they were serving other gods instead of the God of Israel. And so God would allow that to take place, even though he's still in control. Remember, God is in control. The enemy is not in control. The devil's not in control. He has certain powers, but God is in control. It even says in the book of Job that the enemy has to pay an account towards God. He has to go in and give an account towards him. That's how much power your God has. Your God has. And so here we see in the land of Israel that there was a great famine that came over that land, and there was basically no food for the people. But what God was trying to do was get them to repent, because instead of serving him, they were serving these idol gods that had rose up in their land. And their hearts were not for him anymore. You see, we have to check our hearts on a daily basis, people, that we're serving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I know things in life can get a little hard sometimes, huh? The pressures of job, the pressures of life, the pressures of being married, the pressures of children, the pressure of grandchildren, all those things. Sometimes paying bills and all that stuff can bring pressure upon a family and upon friends. But we have an outlet. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that can answer our prayers and bring relief to us. Here we see Ruth and her husband and her two sons. They got to the place where it was severe in the land. And at those times, God would not or did not want anyone to leave Israel. It was commanded by him that his people stay in the land of Israel and to never go to other lands. Never. Because he knew if they would go, they may lose their soul. He knew if they would go, they would start serving other gods all around them. He was their God. He was their king. And so even though, you know, heartache would come and pain would come, he still wanted them to stay because he wanted repentance. You know, how many times have we been on the road? And sometimes we drift a little bit to the left or to the right, huh? And God will allow certain things to happen to draw us back unto him. Because you know why? He loves us. He knows what is best for us. He will keep us in tune with him. But they still left. Isn't it better to be where God is and there'll be poverty than to be in a land of plenty out of the will of God? Amen. You know, many people, I can tell you today, this morning, if every Christian in America would go to church, there's no way all of our churches can handle all the people. No way. There's no way. No matter how many churches, just in Gaydon, I don't know how many churches we have here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Probably 10. There's some on every block, I'm telling you, all over the place. And God says, don't forsake the assemblings of yourselves. Now you might say, well, Pastor, so, you know, everyone, I understand health-wise, work, and things happen. But I tell you what, there's safety in the house of the Lord. There's safety with God. We have to draw together to gain strength from one another. That family walked out of Israel with their luggage on their camels, and they went to a land of Moab where they heard there was a lot of food and prosperity. And you might say, well, isn't that the land of with idolatry? Yes. And awful things happening that I can't even mention from the pulpit. Get it? That they walked to that land and they stayed there 10 years. 10 years. You know what happened to that family? I know most of you have probably read Ruth. As Ruth is there, she loses her husband to death. The longer she stayed there, she lost one son. The longer she stayed there, she lost another son. You might say, well, why was this happening? Let me tell you this. It's better to be in a place of poverty, if that's how we want to say it, and be in the will of God, than be in a land of prosperity out of the will of God. See, we got to really zone in on being where God wants us to be. Because he will bless, he will move. But I tell you, when we're out of where God wants us to be, the protection of God is not with us. That's why we got to make sure we're taking the left turn when he says take that left turn. We got to make sure we're taking that right turn when he says take that right turn. Or go straight and do what is right. It does not mean that just because we're in the will of God that everything will be A-okay either. Because we have an enemy out there that's trying to destroy. It says the enemy comes to what? Let's say it. Steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes to give us what?
Life.
And have life what?
More.
Good job. You all get an A+. Here we see what's happening. Let's read the scripture. Ruth chapter 1, look at starting with verse 3. And Elimelech, which was Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Verse 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion, which is the two sons, died also, both of them. And the women was left, or the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So do you think Ruth was suffering? See, that's why, you know, people will ask me sometimes, well, what should I do? Like making a decision. Unless I know it's blatantly against what the scripture says, I'll just tell them, you better pray and get the mind of Christ. You gotta pray. Ask him for direction. You gotta pray. It says that he hears our prayers. He hears the things that we pray. You know, don't ever think that God is deaf to our prayers. He hears what we pray and he wants to answer. That's why you are to go to God. You are a child of God. It says that his sheep know his voice. You see how important it is to go in the right direction? How important that is to be where God wants you to be. I'll go even a little further. To be in the right church where God wants you to be. Because if you're in the right place, you might say, well, not everything's going great. That's okay. But just so you're in the right place where God wants you to be in your life, that means you have favor with God. Oh, my Lord. You should have shouted. Amen. Now you can shout. Amen. Amen. See, we want the favor of God upon each and every one of our lives. Ruth got to the place of the agony that had happened to her life. I tell you what, if Ruth, that day they left, they went to Moab, if God could have stopped her and she could have seen into the future 10 years, I bet you she would have stopped at the gate and turned back around. Because you see, even though, yes, there was famine in the land, God can still supply in the famine of the land. God can supply for us. God can supply where we are no matter what. Because that's the kind of God we serve. That will supply during the famine. We want to be where God wants us to be in the perfect will of God, even though we may not like it or so, but yet seeing the hand of God move. Can you imagine if Ruth and her husband and her two sons would have stayed in that land, how they would have saw the hand of God move upon their lives? That's just like you and I. We may be in some difficult times, but I tell you what, that's where we can see the hand of God come from heaven above and transform and move and do what he wants to do. And we see him as a God that's just not up in the heavens, but a God that cares about each and every one of us. That loves us. With an everlasting love. It says this, God is love. He loves us and wants the best for us. She finally came to her senses. And she said, you know what? I've heard. Now, it says in the scriptures here that the Jewish Targum, which was not the Bible, but historians and stuff would write things during that time. That's just like today. You know, you have many people writing stuff. It says she came to her senses, basically, after she only had two daughter-in-laws. That's it. Ruth and Naomi. They had married their son, her sons. Two Moabite women that served idols living with her now. No husband, no one to supply for her, no one to help her except these two women. And she decides to go home. Go home. It says in that Targum that it says that an angel spoke to her. I can't say that explicitly is the word of God, okay? So you have to take it like with a grain of salt, okay? Always try to tell people that when it's not actually written. Because, you know, not everything was written. We'd have books this way. Let's come go to church, okay? Let's load our Bibles. Let's get the forklift, load it up to the back of the truck. It says it didn't even record all the miracles of what Jesus did. There's no way possible. There was so many. In just 3.5 years of miracles, signs, and wonders. It says an angel spoke to her and said, get back to Israel. God is blessing. God is moving. And there's no more famine. There weren't newspapers. There wasn't, you know, get on your phone. And I mean, you know, it's so miraculous. Something can happen around the world and we'll know in seconds, you know, about whatever, shooting and whatever it is, you know, great things too. That wasn't what it was back then. And so she headed back home with her two daughter-in-laws. One decided to stay in the land of Moab, and one decided to go with her. One decided, Naomi, decided to serve the God of Israel. Orpha decided to stay in the land of Moab and serve that God, my Lord. And so here we see a great move of God as she comes back. Now let's look at the scripture. Look at Ruth chapter 1, starting with verse 19. This is her coming back into the land. It says, So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. That means the two were coming in, Naomi and Ruth. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? You might say, well, why were they saying that? Because she didn't look the same. 10 years out of the will of God will change you. 10 years of disobedience will change you. 10 years, you will have some loss. But thank God she came back to her senses. Now you might say, well, maybe it was Naomi, you know, that decided to go into this land. Even though it was her husband or her children, whatever it was, whoever, they all went. But after her husband died, and so she could have came right back and didn't. So 10 years. So here she is walking back in and is saying, is that her? Look what she has with her. Look who she has with her. Can you believe? She's bringing this Moabite woman into this place. I mean, they were the talk of the town, people. I mean, that was it in Bethlehem there. Look at what she has brought back. But lo and behold, probably next week we'll learn how God used her. And look at verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, or Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt a very bitterly with me. Which, that was not truth. You might say, well, she lost her husband. She lost her. But it wasn't his fault. Sometimes we might blame God and it's not God's fault. Okay? We got to remember, when we are not in the will of God, that things can happen. You might say, well, can God protect? Yes. Can God forgive? Yes. And we see the mercy of God. But you see, it wasn't all God's fault at all. It was because they left. And if they would have stayed, they would have saw the hand of God move mightily. Look at verse 21. And I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call ye Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me, So Naomi returned with Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So here we see they both come back. You know, you might say, well, isn't God merciful? Yes, he is. He brought her some help. He brought her some help to help her. And here we see the hand of God moving upon their lives, upon their lives. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms 51, please. Psalms 51. You know, God is a God that can transform anybody's life. Psalms 51. Look at verse 11. It says this. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Here we see God as a God that restores people. You might be saying, you know, Pastor, I've made some mistakes. And hey, join the group, who hasn't? You might say, Pastor, I've made some decisions that maybe weren't that good. I understand. Maybe I've gone in a different direction that I shouldn't have gone. I understand. But God can come back in and restore. Just as he restored the life of Ruth. Just as he restored her life. And Naomi too. Has he restored? It says this, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with your free spirit. We know this was David. And this was David speaking this after he had done some wrong in his life. See, joy can come back into your life. Humble yourself before him. Ask him to forgive you. You might say, well, Pastor, do I need to go talk to somebody? Look, let me tell you this. Usually the one you're talking to is worse off than you. So you know what? Go to God first. Go to God first. Get things settled with him. And remember how you felt when you first got saved? The joy of the Lord. David was saying, Lord, give me the joy of your salvation. Look, go to him and say, Father, I've messed up. Give me the joy of your salvation. What I once had, Lord God, give it back to me again. What the thing I forsook, give it back unto me. Just as he gave Ruth back, she came back to Israel. She came back to her homeland. We need, you know, go back to Jesus. Go back to him. Don't look to him as just, oh, he's over there, yes. Get with him. Let him fill your spirit, fill your soul with his compassion and love. Let him fill your life with peace and joy. Don't struggle with all kinds of stuff. You might say, the pressures. I understand the pressures of life. I understand those things. But I tell you what, I know the God that can take those pressures off of our lives. He's the God that wants to carry those loads that weigh us down, that weigh the shoulders down, that weigh our minds down. He wants to carry that for us. Lord, fill us back with your joy. Fill us back with the joy and the peace. That brings strength to our soul, strength to our bodies, strength to our minds. Let the power of the Spirit of Almighty God come back in and stay there. You might say, well, how do I do it? Get on your knees before God if you need to. Call out to him. It says when we call to him, he will answer us. He will be there for us. As Peter was walking on that water, when Jesus said, come, they were in that boat. He said, well, come. When Peter was falling into the water about to drown, Jesus came in and took his hand and raised him up. That's the kind of God you serve that will be there when you call upon him, that will help you, that will take your hand and walk with you and be with you. That's the kind of God we serve. Hallelujah. He's not a God that is afar off. He's a God that is near to his people. That's what he wanted to be to Israel. Israel. He chose Israel to be his people, yet they forsook him and said, we want to be like the other countries and serve other gods. We need to be narrow-minded in this area of being focused upon him and him alone, letting him work in us and through us. The joy of his salvation. Joy of salvation refers to the happiness and peace that comes from knowing God's forgiveness and grace. You know, honestly, people, every day, as we walk through life, things happen. You feel something on the inside of you saying, repent, repent. Repent of your actions. Repent of what you say. Repent of what you do. That's wrong. I'm not saying we walk in forgiveness. And you see, that joy stays there. We need to be restored back to him. Restoring us back to him. What we once knew of him, to keep reminding ourselves that he is a gracious God, a loving God. And we should strive to be in his will at all times. All times, no matter what. We are not our own anymore. We are his. Letting him work within our hearts and in our lives. Restore unto me, David was saying, the joy of my salvation. Restore unto me. That means David was saying, I need help. I need help in this area of my life. I need help, Lord. Show me what to do. And a willing spirit signifies a heart that is receptive to God's leading and ready to serve him, my Lord. And restoration, the act of restoring, implies bringing back something that has been lost or diminished. Lost or diminished, bringing it back. Self-evaluation. That means I'm not evaluating you, and you don't evaluate me, please. But just self. Where are you in your walk with him? Are you as joyful and as peaceful as when you first got saved? We want the joy and the peace, but we want the knowledge that we know now. Okay? Or have we forsaken it? Or have we gone in a different direction? See, David had made some mistakes. And he did some things that are not good. He needed God to restore him. Anything that takes our eyes off of the prize and the mark of Jesus Christ is not good. He needs to be number one at all times. You might say, well, Pastor, will he always be number one? We strive for that. Letting him work within our hearts. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore. God can restore our souls. God can restore our spirits. God can restore the things that we have misplaced or put away. That's the kind of God we serve. The God that takes care of and works and moves. Sometimes in our Christian walk with the Lord, we may have to start all over, and sometimes that's not easy. But you know what? They had to start all over because they realized it was their fault. You have decisions to make, and I know everybody does. And I'm not talking about a decision, okay, what I'm going to eat for lunch. You know, whatever. That's minute. You understand what I'm saying? That's minute stuff. But decisions on jobs, on what might affect you on a really personal basis, go to Him. Keep going to Him. Because you see, you don't want to divert of any kind, of any way. You don't want to make a left turn or a right turn when you need to go straight. But we want to turn when He says to turn. See, we got to learn to listen to the voice of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He restores spiritual health, as it says in Psalms 23:3, spiritual health and well-being. He even restores the years lost to, and like Joel, in lost to locusts. He restores those years, my Lord. Even Joseph in the Bible, God brought restoration. Even Job in the Bible, God brought restoration. He's a God of that we will restore. But first it takes us repentance. That's the basic fact. Do you burn for a knowledge of God anymore? Is there something inside of you that says, I need to get with Him? That's just a question to throw at you. Burn for more of Him. Lord, bring back our youth as far as when we first knew Him. That simplicity of knowing Him and letting Him move upon our heart and soul. See, many people are out there that don't know Christ, is going along and just day by day just into deterioration. We have the answer. The body of Christ around the world has the answer. And the answer is always Jesus. Always Jesus. The answer is always giving praise to the Father because He deserves it. The answer is Him. Let Him work deep within your heart and life. You know, there. I know every one of us has gone through pain and struggles that are really inconceivable. I mean, it's like, wow. Only God, by His mighty hand, can come in and heal those areas. Only Him. Only Him. And you see, He wants us to be whole. God had to mightily come in and heal these women's hearts because He wanted them to be whole before Him. God wants us to be healed on the inside of the hurt, the pain, whatever it is, whatever happens, happened. Letting God move and work mightily in us. He's a God that cares about you. And always I try to remind you and remind myself that God loves you. He loves you. He cares about you. He loves you. There's nothing you can do that can make Him love you more. Because the Father gave His best for us. And that's Jesus Christ. To die upon Calvary's cross. Maybe you're saying today, you know, I know that. And thank you for the reminder. But have you given your heart to the Lord this day? Have you given your heart to Him? Saying from this day forward, I will serve you with everything within you. I'm not talking about the mechanics of man. But I'm talking about what the Scripture says and what the Spirit of God leads and guides. Amen. You may stand, please. Thank you.